Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Monday class, November 25, 2024. Joel.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. Therefore, open the word of God to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Aha, fooled you. You were all in Joel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. And therefore, every single day for the believer in Jesus Christ can be thanksgiving. And every single day in the believer of Jesus Christ can be Christmas. And for that, sir, we are forever grateful. And as we assemble now to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, this Thursday is Thanksgiving. And there will be people all over America getting together and eating too much food. Have to remember to rebound gluttony if you go that far. And they'll get around a table and maybe try to think of something to thank God for. And that's too bad. You see, God in His infinite and matchless grace has given us a plan that's so amazing, so fantastic, so wonderful. When you fulfill that plan, He's given us a mandate. 2 Peter 3:18, grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What's the key to thanksgiving? Grace. Grace orientation. So when it says grow up in grace, in that mandate, is grow up in grace orientation. Grow up in knowledge. Grow up in doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as you do that, when you do that, you will attain spiritual maturity. When you do that, you will fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. When you do that, you will have personal love for God the Father because you know God the Father. You know His essence. You know His attributes. You know His sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, immutability, veracity. You know Him. And because you know Him, you love Him. And you have impersonal love for all mankind. And you have occupation with Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has made himself at home in your heart. And then the other side of that is you have happiness every single day in your life. You share the happiness of God every single day. And when you share the happiness of God every single day, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in America, no matter what's going on in Nevada or Las Vegas or at your work, when you have that plus age, share the happiness of God every single day because Jesus Christ has made himself at home in your heart, then you will have thanksgiving every single day. See, God wants you to have thanksgiving every single day. Not just once out of 365 days. Not just a couple of days, Thanksgiving week. He wants you to have thanksgiving every single day. And when you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and attain spiritual maturity, you will. You will have thanksgiving every single day, and you will have Christmas every single day. Now, Deb and I, everywhere we go, well, I'm always telling everybody, Merry Christmas and Happy Thanksgiving. 365 days a year. Everywhere I go. Go to the bank tellers know me. Amy knows me. Every time I pull in, I go, Merry Christmas! Happy Thanksgiving! Now, before I even say it, she goes, Hi, Mr. Olson. Merry Christmas! Happy Thanksgiving! And we go to restaurants. Everyone in that restaurant I say Merry Christmas to, or Happy Thanksgiving to. And Deb ran into a fellow. He had a Mexican restaurant here, Viva Mercado's. Maybe some of you went to Viva Mercado's. Great Mexican restaurant. Bobby Mercado was the one who owned it and ran it. He ran it. And I would tell him and all the people working in there, Merry Christmas. Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas. And I told Bobby why. I took Bobby aside. I said, you know why I say Merry Christmas every day? Because I'm a Christian. I have a personal relationship with the living and true God, Jesus Christ. And he paid the penalty for all my sins on the cross. And by simply believing in him, I have the gift of eternal life and his righteousness. And he set up a grace pipeline and has been pouring down blessings day after day after day. And that's why I say Merry Christmas, because I have Christmas every single day. Well, the next time I went in there, he got all of his employees and brought all of his employees out. And he said, Pastor Olson is going, he's been telling all of you Merry Christmas. He's going to tell you now why he says Merry Christmas. In other words, Bobby opened up the door for me, giving me the opportunity to give the gospel to all of his employees. I gave the gospel to all of them, and I said, that's why I say Merry Christmas. And all of you, it starts with your personal faith in Jesus Christ. And then after that, it's your faith in the mind of Christ, the Word of God, and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And when you do that, you will have Christmas every day. I have Christmas every day. I have Thanksgiving every day. God wants you to have Thanksgiving and Christmas every single day, not just one day out of the year. Not just a few days or a few weeks. God wants you to have Thanksgiving and Christmas every single day. So this is our Thanksgiving week, and for America. So I'm going to go through some of these concepts for you. Now, most of you are serious students of the Word of God. You make great decisions for God and great decisions for the Word of God. You make great decisions to be here and to assemble, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, to learn the Word of God, believe the Word of God, and you have attained, many of you have attained spiritual maturity, and many of you have Thanksgiving every single day, and Christmas every single day. But that portion of the church that comes for face-to-face teaching. This goes out email. We have all kinds of people that are not able to be here for face-to-face teaching, and they get it through email and MP3s, and it goes out all over America and even around the world. We got pastors in Africa listening to this and getting comment from them all the time. So you are a few, the few, the proud, the Marines, the few that have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and you understand what it means to have Thanksgiving every day. Now, Americans have been celebrating Thanksgiving for 403 years. You know that? 403 years. Almost as old as I am. Thanksgiving is our oldest national holiday, dating back to 1621. It was on that day that Governor Bradford of the Plymouth Colony ordered a day for giving thanks to God. That first Thanksgiving was centered around church services, followed by a feast of venison. Venison, not a cow, not a beef. Venison. Now that's real meat that has flavor. Beef has no flavor. Now I would rather eat venison. The best red meat Jesus Christ ever created, elk. Elk is fantastic. I'd eat elk every day if I could. But they had venison, wild turkey, and quail. The pilgrims invited the neighboring Indians, the Wampanoags, and their chief Massasoit to the celebration. And that first Thanksgiving is described in a great book called The Light and the Glory. Did God Have a Plan for America? Excellent, excellent book. I'd like to read a couple of things in this book. Pages 135 and 136. That summer of 1621 was beautiful. Much work went into the building of new dwellings, and 10 men were sent north up the coast in the sailing shallop to conduct trade with the Indians. Squanto once again acted as their guide and interpreter. It was a successful trip, and that fall's harvest provided more than enough corn to see them through their second winter. The pilgrims were brimming over with gratitude, not only to Squanto and the Wampanoags who had been so friendly, but to their God. In Him they had trusted, and He had honored their obedience beyond their dreams. So Governor Bradford declared a day of public thanksgiving to be held in October. We have it in November. It was in October. Chief Massasoit was invited, and unexpectedly he arrived a day early with 90 Indians came with him. And there, the pilgrim's a little worried. Well, how are we going to feed 90 of them? You know. Counting their numbers, the pilgrims had to pray hard to keep from giving in into despair. To feed such a crowd would cut deeply into the food supply that was supposed to get them through the winter. But if they had learned one thing through their travail, it was to trust God implicitly. As it turned out, the Indians were not arriving empty-handed. Chief Massasoit had commanded his braves to hunt for the occasion, and they arrived with no less than 5 dressed deer and more than a dozen fat wild turkeys, and they helped with the preparations, teaching the pilgrim women how to make hoe cakes. You know what a hoe cake is? It was cornmeal. They made it using a hoe. You used a hoe to make the hoe cakes. So, see, if you want to really get into this thing, get your hoe out and make some hoe cakes. See? Cornmeal baked on the blade of a hoe. And a tasty pudding out of cornmeal and maple syrup. Finally, they showed them an Indian delicacy. How to roast corn kernels in an earthen pot until they popped. Fluffy and white. Popcorn. The pilgrims in turn provided many vegetables from their household gardens. Carrots and onions, turnips and parsnips, cucumbers, radishes, beets and cabbages. Also, using some of their precious flour, they took summer fruits which the Indians had dried and introduced them to the likes of blueberry, apple, and cherry pie. And it was all washed down with sweet wine provided by Tim Vanslow. No. He's pretty old too, see? Sweet wine made from the wild grapes, a joyous occasion for all. Between meals, the pilgrims and Indians happily competed in shooting contests with gun and bow. Now that sounds like something great to do for Thanksgiving. Let's go out and shoot our guns, yeah. Okay, well, sounds great to me. They happily competed in shooting contests with gun and bow. The Indians were especially delighted that John Alden and some of the younger men of the plantation were eager to join them in foot races. They had a track meet and wrestling. There were even military drills staged by Captain Standish. Things went so well, and Chief Massasoit showed no inclination to leave, that Thanksgiving Day was extended for 3 days. But one moment stood out in the pilgrim's memory. William Brewster's prayer as they began the festival. They had so much for which to thank God for providing all their needs. Even when their faith had not been up to believing that he would do so, for the lives of the departed and for taking them home to be with him, for their friendship with the Indians, for all his remarkable blessings in bringing them to this place and sustaining them. That's the very first Thanksgiving. Now I had you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, we have a mandate. This is not an option for you. This is a command given to you by God. Here's the mandate, verse 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is a mandate. In everything, give thanks. That means God wants you to have thanksgiving every single day. Not one day out of the year. Not a couple of days. He wants you to have thanksgiving every single day. So He gives you a command. In everything, give thanks. And for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 verse 20. Ephesians 5:20. Ephesians 5 verse 20. Always be thankful with reference to all things to God, even the Father, through the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. So these commands, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Ephesians 5:20, these are commands from God that every day should be thanksgiving in your life. Now, ask yourself, do you have thanksgiving every single day of your life? Do you have Christmas every single day of your life? If you don't, well, that's what God wants you to have, and that's what He has for you. But it requires you to make good decisions to grow up spiritually, grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that means you need to find a sound Bible teaching church, get your patootie in there consistently and faithfully, and learn and believe in the Word of God and get maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart. When you do that, then you know God. Then you know the essence of God. When you know the attributes and essence of God, you love God because you know Him. And then every single day is thanksgiving. So these are mandates from God that every day should be thanksgiving. And when you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advance to spiritual maturity, you will have thanksgiving. And you will celebrate Christmas every single day. However, you cannot fulfill these mandates until you fulfill the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18, and that is to grow up spiritually in the grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, one. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it is the will of God for you to have thanksgiving every single day. And that is the best. God wants the very best for you. God's plan for you is to bless you, and have the very best every day. No matter what's going on in your situation or circumstances, no matter what's going on in the world or America, you can have Thanksgiving every single day. And we have Thanksgiving now. We'll be celebrating another month at Christmas. But again, you ought to have Christmas every single day. And the spiritually mature believer does have Thanksgiving and Christmas every single day. In June, July, every month, every day, enjoys Christmas and Thanksgiving. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it is the will of God for you to have Thanksgiving every single day. The unique spiritual life that God has designed for the church age is so amazing and so fantastic that every day can be and should be thanksgiving for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Ephesians 5:20, always be thankful with reference to all things. Point two. This thanksgiving is directed to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 5:20. This thanksgiving is directed to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 5:20. And what are you doing when you give thanks to God? Thanksgiving, what are you doing? Now, God has given us two royal commissions in the church age. We have all been commissioned a royal priest. All right, you're sitting here. God has commissioned you a royal priest. You represent yourself before God. As a royal priest, a priest offers sacrifices. Now, in the age of Israel, they came and offered animal sacrifices. And the priest would take the animal, the lamb, cut its throat, and blood would go everywhere, and put it on the altar. We don't offer animal sacrifices. But we are royal priests, and we are to offer sacrifices as priests. What do we offer? What are the sacrifices we offer in our royal priesthood? I'm glad you asked that question. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Hebrews 13:15. Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. What is the sacrifice? Praise to God. That is, now he explains, what do I mean by praise to God? That is not, it's not shouting out praise the Lord, that's what the fundies do, not that. This sacrifice of praise to God is now defined. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks. That give thanks to his name. To his name is his person, his essence, his attributes. And when you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, when you develop personal love for God the Father, you know him. You know his essence. And when you know his essence, why, every single day you're thanking God for who and what he is. You're thanking God in your prayer life, every day in your prayer life, you will go through the essence of God and thank God for his sovereignty. He's the sovereign God of the universe. He's the quarterback. He calls the plays. You don't. God does. He's the sovereign God of the universe. He's the quarterback. He calls the plays. He's the potter. We're the clay. His decisions are absolutely perfect that he makes for all of us. His decisions are absolutely perfect. And you thank God that he is the quarterback, and his decisions are absolutely perfect in every part of your life. And he is the righteousness and justice God. Absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Infinite honor, infinite integrity, infinite virtue, and infinitely fair. He's infinitely fair with you every single day. And you thank God that he's infinitely fair for you. And he is virtue love. And he loves you with infinite virtue love. And you thank God that he loves you with infinite virtue love. And he's eternal life. He's given you eternal security, the gift of eternal life at the moment of salvation, faith in Christ. And you thank him for the gift of eternal life. He is the omniscient God, the all-knowing God. He knows all about your situations and your circumstances, and in fact, he knew about it in eternity past. He knows all about your problems, your situations, your adversity, your suffering, and your prosperity. He's the omnipresent God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit indwells each one of us. He's with you every single second of every day. Every second of every day, He's with you. You're never alone. The devil asked me when I come back home after studying here, she said, "What, did anybody stop by?" I go, "Yes. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were there. We were having a great time." God is with you every second of every single day, no matter what's going on. He's the omnipotent, all-powerful God, the creator of the universe. And that means He can solve any problem. Any problem. And the winner believer knows that and believes that with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. That the omnipotent God, the creator of the universe, can solve your problems are nothing compared to the omnipotence of God. It's easy. It's simple. And He is immutable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's veracity. He's infinite truth and faithfulness. You can have absolute confidence in God and in the Word of God. Just in your prayer life, every day, and I love to pray. And my prayers always start with thanksgiving. And that really, more and more, the more I learn about God, more time in my prayers. The first part is thanksgiving. And it's just great. I thank God for who and what He is. I thank Him for His essence, His attributes. That's a part of having thanksgiving every single day. You know God, you love God, you have thanksgiving directed toward God. See, that's what, you're a royal priest. You are to offer sacrifices. What are the sacrifices you offer? The sacrifices of thanksgiving to God. That's the sacrifice. Through Him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name, to His person, to who and what He is. So we have been commissioned a royal priest. All of you are royal priests, and that means you are to offer sacrifices. And here are some of those great sacrifices. Secondly, we have been commissioned a royal ambassador. A royal ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the royal ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ, see, Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. And so He has commissioned us, we have been commissioned royal ambassadors. Why? To represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And there's your royal ambassadorship. To represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. So, point two, again, this thanksgiving is directed to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 5:20. These are spiritual sacrifices from our royal priesthood offered to God the Father. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and Ephesians 5:20, we have a verb there for thanksgiving, el charisteo. Looks like that in the Greek. E-U-C-H-A-R-I-S-T-E-U, long O, el charisteo. That's the verb we have in both 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and in Ephesians 5:20. It's a compound verb made up of el is the word for good, and charisteo, which means grace. Charisteo comes from charis, grace. So good grace is good grace, thanksgiving as a result of grace orientation. The word is translated thanksgiving. It is literally good grace. So it's thanksgiving that you offered as a result of your growing up in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the result of grace orientation in your heart. Three, when the believer attains maximum grace orientation, then every single day will be thanksgiving in your life. When you as a believer attain maximum grace orientation, then every day will be thanksgiving in your life. Now turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Now we have been given the mandate here, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Always be thankful with reference to all things. Now we have something related to that. Philippians 4 verse 4, another command, and I kind of get a laugh at this because God has to command you to be happy, because we're really experts at making ourselves miserable. We're very good at that. We're very good at being miserable, and we do it ourselves. We do it to our own selves by our own bad decisions. We're experts at making ourselves miserable. So God says, gives us a command. Keep on having plus H. Keep on sharing the happiness of God in the Lord. Always. Always. He wants you to have Thanksgiving every single day. He wants you to have Christmas every single day. He wants you to share the happiness of God. Always. Keep on sharing the happiness of God in the Lord always, at all times. And then if that isn't enough, he repeats it. I will repeat this command again. Keep on sharing the happiness of God. Keep on having plus H. And then he goes, let your, and here's the word, grace function. Let your grace function be evident to all. Let your grace function. When you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, when you have maximum grace orientation, it will be evident to everyone you come in contact with. You will have tremendous impact in everyone you come in contact with. Let your grace function be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, after thanksgiving, first part of your prayer life every day in your prayer life, first part of your prayer life should be thanksgiving to God. Every day is thanksgiving. Every day you start your prayer life with thanksgiving. After thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's a part of having Thanksgiving every day and Christmas every day. Now there's another passage. This is a great one. I love this. Turn over to Revelation. Revelation. You've got to be able to find it. It's the last one. Revelation chapter 7. I'm gonna have you turn here because there are elect angels and there are those winners in heaven, and they have thanksgiving for God every day. Verse 11, and all the angels, these are the elect angels, not the fallen angels, and all the elect angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God. Now here's their worship of the living and true God. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Now, you as winner believers have attained spiritual maturity. You have this thanksgiving for God while you're here on earth. But guess what? When we get our resurrection body for all eternity, we're going to be giving thanksgiving. Just like these winners, elect angels, we'll be giving thanksgiving to God every day, day after day, for all eternity. Revelation 7, 11, and 12. Okay. So, a couple of things. What is grace? One, grace is all that God is free to do for mankind without compromising His divine essence. Grace is all that God is free to do for mankind without compromising His divine essence. Two, grace means favor. It means kindness. It means mercy. Mercy is actually eleos. It means grace in action. Three, grace is free, unmerited favor and love from God. Not from our works or because we have made ourselves, through our work, trying to make ourselves attractive to God. Grace is free, unmerited favor and love from God alone, not from our works. Now, God's love is infinite virtue love. Infinite virtue love. Virtue love is for us, when we develop virtue love, there are three parts. God has two aspects of virtue love. Impersonal love, two types of love. He has impersonal love and He has personal love. Now when we develop virtue love, have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts, we have personal love for God the Father. That's the great motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind and occupation with Jesus Christ. So this is, when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, this is reality. That's reality. Now, it's based on the fact that God has two categories of virtue love. He has impersonal love and He has personal love. Impersonal love and personal love. John 3:16, God loved the world so much He gave His uniquely born Son that whosoever believes in Him will never perish but have everlasting life. God loved the world, all mankind, in status of spiritual death and total depravity. He loved the world so much that he gave his son. He designed Operation Grace, the cross. He sent his eternal son from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas, the greatest miracle mankind will ever know, the incarnation and virgin birth of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And he took on true humanity to go to a cross. And while he was on the cross, God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world, poured them out on him, and judged them in him once and for all. And having done that, God offers a gift to anyone, any place, anywhere. And that gift is eternal life by simply believing in Jesus Christ. That's God's impersonal love. John 3:16, God loved the world so much, he gave his uniquely born son, that whosoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So in those passages, we see God's great impersonal love. So, one, God has impersonal love for the unbeliever. The unbeliever who is in spiritual death and total depravity, God has great impersonal love for him. Two, Jesus Christ had impersonal love for all mankind when he freely agreed to go to the cross and to receive the imputation of our sins in his body. That was his impersonal love for us when we were spiritually dead, totally depraved. And three, God the Father had impersonal love when he imputed all of our sins to Christ and then judged them in the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. In all that, God's great impersonal love. But he also has personal love. Personal love. God loves, over and over in the scriptures, God loves his righteousness. God loves his absolute righteousness with infinite personal love wherever that righteousness resides. So, one, God has personal love for the believer because the believer receives the imputed righteousness of God at the moment of faith in Christ's salvation. Justification by faith. So God has personal love for the believer because the believer receives the imputed righteousness of God as salvation. And God loves his righteousness wherever it resides. Two, this establishes a grace pipeline. So here's the cross. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. You place your faith in Christ. And at that moment of placing your faith in Christ, the justice of God imputes to you the righteousness of God. That establishes this fantastic grace pipeline. With the justice of God on one end and imputed righteousness in you at the other end, and God sends down that grace pipeline, blessing, 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 blessing. God's plan for you is to bless you, bless you, bless you. Starts out with 40 salvation blessings that occur instantly at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. Every day from that day on to right up to today, he sends down logistical grace, blessing and support, temporal security to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world so that you can make good decisions to live the spiritual life and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain spiritual maturity, have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And when that becomes reality, then God sends down that grace pipeline, greater grace blessings. Greater grace blessings in time and greater grace blessings that will be awarded to you at the judgment seat of Christ following the rapture of the church. All comes down that grace pipeline from justice to imputed righteousness. So, one, grace means that all things from God, including salvation by grace through faith in Christ, are free, are received from God as a free gift. A free gift. A gift means you don't work for it. Salvation is not by works. That's the Satan's devil, the devil's lie. That you have to do a lot of works in order to be saved. That's the devil's lie. That's a false gospel. No one will be saved by your works. You're saved by faith in the completed work of Christ on the cross. Christ did all the work. He did all the work for salvation. So grace means that all things from God, including salvation by grace through faith in Christ, are received from God as a free gift. A free gift. Two, they are a free grace gift, totally apart from any human merit or any system of human work. They are a free gift, a free grace gift, totally apart from any form of human merit or any system of human works. Three, grace is blessing from God because of who and what God is, not who and what we are. Grace is blessing from God because of who and what God is, not who and what we are. Four. All that we have and all that we are is because of who and what God is. All that we have and all that we are is because of who and what God is. Because of the essence of God. Because of the attributes of God. So all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what God is. Five, when you grow up spiritually and develop maximum grace orientation, you will realize, you will come to know that God is everything and we are nothing. When you get to that point in your spiritual life, now you're ready to take off. When you develop maximum grace orientation, you will realize and come to know that God is everything and we are nothing. We are total products of the grace of God. We are total products of the grace of God. Point six. Grace includes three categories of divine blessing from God. Grace includes three categories of divine blessing from God. First of all, pre-salvation grace. So you see, these three categories, grace is unmerited favor and divine provision for mankind before, during, and after salvation. Grace is unmerited favor and divine provision for mankind before, during, and after salvation. So the three categories of God's grace include pre-salvation grace, And this is all that God is free to do for the spiritually dead person. And that includes the common grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit. When the gospel is given to anyone, any place, anywhere, God the Holy Spirit is there, turns on a light inside his soul so that he can understand the issue of salvation. Understand that salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. That's the common grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And then the divine call. God invites you to believe in Jesus Christ. And then efficacious grace. God the Holy Spirit takes your faith in Christ and makes it effective for eternal salvation. So that's pre-salvation grace. All that God is free to do for the spiritually dead unbeliever. Common grace ministry of the Spirit, the divine call, the efficacious grace ministry of the Spirit. Secondly, salvation grace. Salvation grace. This includes all that God has accomplished to save the spiritually dead unbeliever. That is, first of all, the saving work of Christ on the cross. The salvation work of Christ on the cross. Secondly, the judgment of mankind's sin imputed to Christ on the cross. The judgment of mankind's sin imputed to Christ by God the Father. And third, the 40 salvation blessings God gives to us at the moment of faith in Christ. The 40 salvation blessings God gives to us at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. That's salvation grace. So we have pre-salvation grace, common grace, divine call, efficacious grace, salvation grace, saving work of Christ on the cross, the judgment of mankind's sin imputed to Christ by God the Father, the 40 salvation blessings God gives to us to salvation. Third, post-salvation grace. Post-salvation grace. This is total divine provision of God so that you can fulfill His plan, will, and purpose for your life. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan, will, and purpose for your life. It's the greatest plan. Now, there are a lot of people that they have their own plan and they crash and burn doing their own plan. But God's plan is the best plan, perfect plan. When you carry out God's plan, you have Thanksgiving every day, Christmas every day. How can you get any better than that? Thanksgiving and Christmas every day. Share the happiness of God no matter what's going on. So this is total divine provision of God for the fulfillment of His plan, will, and purpose for our lives. Secondly, this includes logistical grace, blessing and support, temporal security that keeps us alive in the middle of the devil's world so we can make good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and attain spiritual maturity. Have virtue, love brought to completion in our hearts. So this includes logistical grace, blessing and support that comes to us every day from the day of salvation right up to tonight, today. God has been giving you logistical grace, blessing and support, temporal security to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world so that you can make good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, attain spiritual maturity. Three, when we attain spiritual maturity, then God gives us greater grace blessings for time. Greater grace blessings for time. And that is just, I could spend the rest of this year and all of next year just going through all the fantastic greater grace blessings God has for the winner believer. They include spiritual blessings. They include temporal blessings. They include blessing by association. They include historical impact on your nation. Your nation's blessed as a result of you attaining spiritual maturity. America is blessed. You become an invisible hero. And that is the only reason why we are still here as a nation. Because of the invisible heroes. Those believers who have attained spiritual maturity. They're a part of the pivot. There is the reason why we're still here. Jesus Christ controls history. And when there's a large enough pivot of mature believers, that nation is blessed. And we have many invisible heroes right in here and listening to our classes all over America and other countries. Historical impact. And then suffering for blessing. Undeserved suffering for blessing. The opportunity of glorifying God in times of suffering as well as in times of good health. And then dying grace blessing. And then greater grace blessings that will be awarded to you, crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ following the rapture. So when we attain spiritual maturity, God gives us greater grace blessings, both for time and for eternity. Well, this is all a part of our... This week is getting you all clued into Thanksgiving. From God's viewpoint. Thanksgiving from God's viewpoint. Now, the Thanksgiving from the turkey's viewpoint? Well, you know what? Like some of the animals I went out and harvested hunting, they would gladly... They gladly came out. They had a target right in the kill zone. Give them, because they knew it would be eaten. And everybody would say, wow, wasn't that fantastic venison? And that deer is going, yeah. Or elk. Wasn't that fantastic elk? Yes. And the elk going, Now, you got all the PETA people out there, and they don't want anybody to eat any meat. Well, I think vegetarians suck, frankly. I eat meat, all kinds of meat. And there's nowhere in the Bible that says you're supposed to be a vegetarian if you are, you're a great believer. No, I just think you're a cuckoo clock, that's all. But that's, we'll save that for another day, whether it's about. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our life. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.